Hi everybody, and welcome to episode number 9 of the ASP.NET Monsters. This is production code, capital I, capital G. So,
or if you're from the United States, that would be capital I, capital G.
Yes, that's true. Mostly the same alphabet there. A couple of weird extra letters in the American alphabet, but I don't know what they use Z for. Anyways, today we're going to talk about what makes a controller. So I have opened up a standard project here, and we'll just take a look at a couple of the controllers here. Account controller is a bit large, so let's focus on the home controller to start with. So in the new version of ASP.NET Core 1.0 MVC... Yeah, we're going to get the naming straight sooner or later. I don't feel that bad about it, because it's not like the ASP.NET team has the naming straight either, so...
Well, it's MVC Core, and it's ASP.NET Core 1.0. Right.
So is it like Core Squared?
I think so. This is MVC Core Squared.
I swear, this whole thing would have been easier if they just called it Bob, like I told them to. All right, so, you home controller.
Would have confused all those happy Windows 95 users, though, you realize.
That's true.
Home controller here. So this is a basic controller that you get inside of this version of ASP.NET MVC, whatever it be called, and also previous versions of ASP.NET MVC. So this just lives in the controllers directory over here. And it is a controller by the fact that it is called controller and that it extends from this controller class, this base class here. And inside of it, you just generally have methods that return action results. Now we've started to return iAction results, which is probably a better thing to return in the first place. It feels lighter weight. I don't know if it is. But you don't have to do controllers this way anymore in the new version of ASP.NET MVC Core Squared. Instead, you can use POCO controllers. So POCO, for those who... No, POCO is a plain old C-sharp object, meaning that we don't have all of the necessity to extend from controller. It doesn't have to be called controller. It doesn't have to do any of these things. So I will start off taking a look at one of these, and I have this Sly Fox controller over here, because this is a sneaky sort of way of doing controllers. So first off, I have put it in just a random directory inside the project here, showing that I don't have to use controllers.
This is the first break, right, yeah.
Yeah, so you don't have to put your controllers inside the controller folder anymore. On startup, there's an assembly scan, and it looks for anything that matches a certain set of rules. So the default set of rules is just that it has to be called controller. But you can alter those sets of rules. So if you wanted to have it call something else, if you wanted to call your controllers governors, perhaps, then you could do that. That's a word we don't use much. I'm going to start using governors more in class naming. So the first one here we have is a Sly Fox controller here. And this one still extends from controller, and we have an action on it called Be Sneaky. So somewhere over here, I have this application started up. Hopefully, it's still started up. And that was Sly Fox, I think. So here we go. This is a sneaky view from the Sly Fox controller. So that still works perfectly. Okay, so we can depart from that even more here by using our Sly Weasel controller. So this Sly Weasel controller here no longer inherits from controller. But we can still get to it over here with our Sly Weasel. And there we go. We have a Sly Weasel controller being returned. All right. But the problem with this Sly Weasel controller is that we don't have access to all the stuff that we would like to have. Like, we might need to have access to, like, the view bag and the request and the response and those sorts of objects that we're used to.
Those are all the things that come along just by inheriting from controller.
Right. So we don't have any context, basically.
Right.
And we can get those by hooking into dependency injection. So I can't remember. I don't think we've done a full talk on dependency injection yet, but it's certainly on our backlog.
I think it's in the queue, yeah.
Yeah. But dependency injection is a first-class citizen inside of ASP.NET MVC Core Squared 1.0. and we can access that by using control using constructor injection here. I think we used to be able to use parameter injection, but that's disappeared as of late. That's fine. So what I've done is I've created a constructor here, and I've asked for an iURL helper, and I've also asked for an iHttp context accessor. So let's breakpoint into this method here and see if we can dig into what that looks like. I can't remember which animal is Sly here. It's a magpie. Sly.
I did want to point out that I had suggested honey badger, and that was not.
Yeah, I don't feel like honey badgers are sneaky per se.
It's not sneaky; it just doesn't care.
Yeah,
just doesn't care, okay. And is also quite intelligent.
Yeah. That's a great video that we'll link somewhere of honey badgers escaping from their enclosures. Anyway,
sure.
So we've repointed here inside of this action result, and if everything has worked correctly, then we will have fully inflated versions of these. Yeah, so we have a URL helper here, if we needed to do that, and we have a context accessor here, so that gives us access to the HTTP context if we were looking to take a look at some of the properties that are hanging off of that, like the user hangs off of that. So we'll just continue along there, and yeah, indeed that Sly Magpie controller works fine. And we have access to the context should we need it. Why would you use POCO controllers? The idea is that they're a little bit lighter weight, and that might provide some performance enhancements, but I'm actually more interested in the fact that it provides a smaller surface area that you need to test and worry about. So if you only need access to the URL helper, then you only need to worry about injecting that into the object and have to worry about, oh, maybe my controller is also using a bunch of other stuff that we haven't properly tested or we haven't looked at the interaction model for yet. So it narrows your focus down and makes smaller, more compact controllers. All
right.
So
not a huge, necessarily a huge win performance-wise in most scenarios anyways. Like, I mean, I imagine the throughput that you would need in order to make it a bottleneck for creating controllers would be quite high. So probably not needed on from a performance standpoint. But as you said, reducing the test area or the surface area required to rig up a test is certainly attractive from that point.
Yeah, I haven't actually done the benchmarks on that, but it's my assumption that less code equals faster. Mm-hmm. All right, so I think that brings us into this episode. James, has anybody won our contest yet?
You know, I'm just checking right now here, and no winners.
Okay, well, better luck next week, everybody, and we'll see you on the next episode of the ASP.NET Monsters.